Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We do have something to thank the Lord for tonight. Amen. Amen. He's been good. And, you know, I don't think we can quite grasp it yet. But one of these days when we stand before the Lord and realize what that unmerited favor has done for us and how it brought us salvation, how it made it possible for us to stand in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a day that is going to be. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have a lot to thank the Lord for. Praise the Lord. Just very thankful to be here tonight. We did have quite the service Sunday. I don't know. I just hope, I hate to think of anybody missing that service, but that song service, the presence of the Lord came down in a wonderful way. And I'm so thankful. You know, we need times of refreshing. We need God's presence. We need strength that comes from Him. This world wears you out. And where else could we go? To whom else could we go? Where else would our strength come from? But praise the Lord when we get in God's presence. Oh, yes, when He comes down and we are refreshed in our spirit. And oh my, you know, He takes over and He takes control and He renews our strength. And oh my, it is such a wonderful thing, that faith that also increases when we're in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, He is here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to trust Him to do some great things. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I am calling this message by the grace of God. But I guess before we go into God's Word, let's pray again. Let's just talk to the Lord here a minute. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You that we can gather here tonight in Thy name. We thank You that we know that You are with us, God. And oh, God, You are here to help us. You are here to meet our needs. Oh, God, You are here to undertake, Lord. And oh, God, I pray that You'd give us a greater glimpse of those things that are beyond, oh Lord. I ask that You'd help us to realize in a greater way the mercy and the grace that You have shown us, Lord. And oh God, what You have done for us to redeem us. Oh God, that we might sit in heavenly places. Oh Lord, in Christ Jesus, Lord, that we might exalt Thy name, Lord, that we might sing Thy praises. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Oh, we praise You, Jesus, and I ask that You'd be here, Lord. I ask, oh Lord, that You would talk to us. I pray, oh God, that You'd make a way to our heart, Lord, that You'd bind, oh Lord, every confusing spirit, everything that is not of Thee, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You'd give us singleness of mind, oh Lord. Oh God, that You'd give us faith. Oh God, that the devil would be rebuked. And oh God, that You'd give us faith to draw nigh unto Thee, Lord, to claim Thy promises, to walk in Thy presence, Lord. Oh God, to reach out to Thee and to receive that touch. All those touches that we need from Thee, Lord. Oh, God, help us here tonight. I pray that You'd work in our hearts. I pray that You would draw those that have not yet come unto Thee. Oh, I pray that You would draw them by Your Spirit, Lord. And oh, God, that You would take over, Lord, that Your presence would come down. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that You give us that strength that we need from You, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd pour out of Your Spirit the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord. And oh, God, that You'd help us here tonight. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. Oh, we thank You for what You have done. Oh, that wonderful grace that You have bestowed upon us. I thank You for it, oh God, and I ask, oh Lord, that You would work here tonight and give this service to You. I ask You to take over, Lord. I could do nothing without You, Lord. I ask, oh Lord, for Your help. Oh Lord, talk to our hearts and help us. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, our God is good. And we are only here because of the grace of God and by His grace. You know, I was at the piano yesterday and I was singing this little song, Grace, Grace, that we just sang. And I'll tell you what, presence of the Lord came down in such a way, and all at once it was like he gave me a flashback in my memory. And all at once I remembered that night, oh, so many years ago when I was 8 years old, and oh yes, I had prepared myself for baptism, and I had the robe on, and I was walking up the steps to the baptismal tank there. I believe my pastor, Brother Davis, had his sleeves all rolled up. And, you know, I just got thinking about that. That wonderful moment, that wonderful privilege I had to go down in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of my sins. I just thank God. You know, we don't quite understand everything right now. But, you know, there are moments that are so important in our lives. There are things that, you know, we must do, that we need to do. We need to not neglect. And there is nothing so important as making our hearts right with God and obeying the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I just welled up with thankfulness to think, oh, how the Lord had brought me to that place where there I was, 8 years old, and how God had worked on my heart the Sunday before and filled me with the Holy Ghost. Holy, you know, I didn't fully realize it all, but I'll tell you what. When I came up out of that water, I was speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord, you know. And I know that the Lord washed me clean that night. And what a night, you know, something to remember, you know, something to never forget. I pray that you've all been there. Oh, yes, to that place where you met God and where he took those old icky sins, all those things from our past, and washed our slate clean. And we came up out of that water. And oh yes, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, claiming the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we weren't filled right then and there, that promise is there for us to receive. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful grace of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And by his grace, we're going to just probably be talking a little bit about the man Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus originally. But as I begin here tonight, I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter here, and read a portion here. Praise the Lord. Oh, what God has done, how he takes us, and how he brings us to that place. You know, I know the night the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, I had no inkling at all that I was going to meet God that night. You know, I just didn't know. But what a wonderful thing that, you know, he called me and, you know, I could respond. And oh my, I just couldn't wait to get to that place of prayer and pour out my heart to God. Oh, I pray that you've been there too. Oh, yes, because, oh, there is nothing like it. How the Lord takes our lives and how he changes us. How he makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, I do plan that we are going to be talking about Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 1, he is saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Praise the Lord. Therefore, whether if were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there in this portion of Scripture. But, oh, Paul is recalling all the wonder of it all, the wonderful, glorious gospel that was presented. And, yes, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, oh, yes, how that Jesus Christ was seen. Oh, yes, first of all of Peter, you know, and then of the 12, or the 12 that remained. And, you know, then of more than 500 brethren all at once, it tells us. And then he was seen of James. And I suppose that James is the Lord's brother, I suppose. And then of all the apostles, those that followed Jesus. And then Paul says, last of all, you've seen me as one that was born out of due time. And we know that Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Praise the Lord. And you know how the Lord used him, how the Lord raised him up, how the Lord changed him. But he considered himself to be the least of all the apostles. Oh, he had that terrible burden upon himself that he had persecuted the church of God. I suppose he was always kind of there, you know, but he realized that there was something that delivered him, something that he didn't deserve, something that he didn't merit. It was the grace of God, oh, that had come upon him. Praise the Lord, the wonderful grace of God that came to him and witnessed and gave him opportunity to turn his life over. Praise the Lord. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Oh, he realized that everything he did after he came to know the Lord was because of the Lord Jesus. And his marvelous grace, that unmerited favor that God had shown him, that he had bestowed upon him. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, if we're here tonight, it's all because of God's grace. Oh, praise the Lord. There's not too many people in this building tonight. And I don't know the condition of everybody else in this city and all around and about. But I know one thing, oh, if God has called us, oh, it's because of his grace. Oh, that unmerited favor that he has shown us. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. I want to also turn here for a minute here to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. And here also, Paul is talking as he's addressing Timothy here about the wonderful, glorious grace of God. And here he says in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And he says in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And this is what Paul considered of himself. He said, of whom I am chief. Oh, praise the Lord. But he said, how be it for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Oh, praise the Lord. He's talking about that wonderful grace and mercy. Oh, mercy, the Lord not giving him what he deserved, but rather giving him grace, that which he could not earn or merit. Oh, those are the works of God. And he talks about how the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant. Oh, just so full, so rich, you know, the faith and the love which came from the Lord Jesus, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. And oh, yes, we know that the saying that is worthy of all acceptation. Oh, yes, it did. Oh, yes, we could all agree upon this if we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, praise the Lord. He came to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord, so that we could rejoice. Oh, yes, we could know what it's like to have an abundant life. Oh, yes, and to live. Oh, yes, in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, and we get these glimpses now on this earth. We know that he is here. He is walking beside us even now. And one of these days we're going to see him face to face. Oh, praise the Lord, and forever be in his presence. Praise the Lord. Thank our God. Our God is so good. Praise our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Having read these scriptures, I want to go now to the book of Acts. And just going to go over, you know, just a few places where Saul of Tarsus first came into the scene here. If we turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, we have a record here of the wonderful sermon that the deacon Stephen preached before they stoned him. And oh my, that's a wonderful message. I believe I taught it a few years ago, and I think it took me 3 or 4 weeks to teach that message, because there is so much that Stephen brought out in that message. It was like a history of the Hebrew people. And it's wonderful. But of course, you know, by the time he was finishing up his testimony, the Jewish people were getting more and more vexed in their spirit and exceedingly angry. Oh, yes, you know, he ended by saying, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Verse 52 says, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." He's telling them right to their face. They had betrayed, they had murdered the Just One, the one that the prophets had proclaimed over those centuries of time, who have received the law by the disposition of angels. Oh, it didn't come cheap. That law that was sent down from heaven, all the words of the prophets, it didn't come cheap. There was a price to it. It came with great cost. And it was greatly anointed of God. But oh, yes, they had ignored it. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Tells us in 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, the authority. Oh, yes, besides the glory of God as he could see it in some manner or form. And oh, as he said this, it tells us in verse 57, "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." Oh, that angry mob just ran, oh yes, devouring him. And oh yes,
ready to stone him, obviously, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh my, there it was. You know, obviously Saul was a partaker in this, and they were laying down their garments at his feet. He was a young man at this point, but oh my, he had something to do with this, and it wasn't good. But yet, Stephen, oh yes, he was leaving this world. As he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, what did he say? He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Oh, praise the Lord, there was a man there, a young man there, who would someday become Paul the Apostle. Praise the Lord. And as we look at the next chapter, chapter 8 here in Acts, we see more of Saul's doing. It tells us in verse 1, chapter 8 of Acts, and Saul was consenting unto his death, speaking of Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. This is what persecution did, you know. And Jesus had gave them that mode. He told them that when they were persecuted, to flee from one city to the next. And this was the case, you know, through the works of Saul and whoever else was of that mindset, you know, great persecution broke out on that early church. It wasn't its infancy yet. It was still young, but oh, here it was, being persecuted in a great measure. But it spread the gospel. It scattered the saints. And it says now that, you know, they weren't just in Jerusalem. They didn't all stay in one little clump, but they began to spread out throughout the regions of Judea and into Samaria, except the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. It tells us in verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Oh, this was the first martyr in the Christian church, as far as I know. And you know, it had to be a very heavy moment. And, you know, somebody who was so zealous for the Lord and, you know, so willing to stand up and declare it and tell those people to their face what they needed to hear. It tells us in verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He was going from house to house, you could say, and dragging men and women out of those homes and committed them into prison. And it tells us in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, the devil might have thought that persecution would stop the works of God. But it did not. It did not. Praise the Lord. It was spreading in spite of persecution. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And what a wonderful thing. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord. It goes on to tell us about Philip, who went to Samaria and preached Christ unto the Samaritans. Oh, yes. It tells us about the Ethiopian eunuch in this chapter. But we're going to go now to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. This 9th chapter tells us that Saul was still into his unbelievable nastiness here. Tells us the first one. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He'd done a lot of damage already. But you know what? He's not finished and he's not satisfied. He has a zeal that I just can't even imagine here, a zeal to slaughter Christians. And so he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, what a moment here. Here he is with letters. He's going with the zeal that he had onward to Damascus. And, you know, with the intention of any of those that he found that were in the way, that were Christians, in other words, oh, believers in the Lord Jesus, that he was going to bring them bound back to Jerusalem. But praise the Lord, God had other plans. Oh, yes, he, oh, God, intervened. Oh, yes, in the life of this man, and also for the sake of his saints, even. It tells us, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I'll tell you what, oh my, he's never going to be the same after this. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, what an awakening. Oh, he hadn't realized that, you know, he was persecuting the God himself. He thought he was doing, you know, these ugly deeds for the sake of God, you know, because, you know, he considered Christians to be heretics and, you know, people that needed to be destroyed. But, oh, praise the Lord, in spite of his notion, his false thinking, God stopped him. And he, oh my, it was a great surprise. Oh, to realize that the one he was persecuting was Jesus. Oh, Jesus himself. And oh, yes, that voice that came back and said, It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, yes, he was working against the will of God, thinking he was doing God pleasure, and he was kicking up against it. And it tells us in verse 6, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And you know, this is just, you know, so interesting. You know, God usually tells, or God usually uses people to bring forth the gospel. You know, he can use angels. God could, you know, tell it whatever way he wanted to. But it seems like usually he uses people as he can to declare the gospel message. And so Saul is told that he needs to arise and go into the city, and there he will be told what he needs to do. It says, The man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. You know, it's that light that intervened there, that struck him down even. It was so bright that it blinded him, obviously. Oh, it was the light of God, oh, you know, coming upon him. And oh my, he was going to see some things that he never thought he would ever see. He was going to gain understanding that he never realized he was going to gain. But there it is, there, because now for 3 days he was without sight, so they had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. And I love how the Lord works out all the angles. You know, who's going to want to help Saul? But God was preparing a certain disciple in Damascus. His name was Ananias, and God was preparing him. You know, God knows how to cover all the bases. And I love that. Sometimes, you know, we're blindsided. Oh, most of the time, I guess. Really, we really don't see how God is working. But you know, he's got things laid out so beyond our understanding and perception. And you know, things that he's ordained from the foundation of the world. And you know, he knows how to do those things that we certainly don't of ourselves know how to do. But here it is, you know, God talked to Ananias by means of a vision. And this is how it went. It says in verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." And you know, they'd all heard of this Saul of Tarsus. Oh my, they were very braced. And Ananias likewise tells us, "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto Ananias, unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Oh, praise the Lord. See how the Lord worked. Oh my, this couldn't have been easy for Ananias. But God prepared his heart, and he accepted the voice of God, the instructions that he was given, that which he saw in this vision, and he realized that that was God. And I thank God, you know, he could take the rottenness of us and change us and make us his own. Praise the Lord. That's our God who can dip way down, transform a life, make them alive in the Lord. Oh, yes. And put his spirit within, oh yes, our mortal beings. Praise the Lord. I love how God can do that. Oh, he is no respecter of persons. Know how it is that he can call forth whom he will. Oh, praise the Lord. I know there are some people that are in the prison house that the Lord is talking to. Praise the Lord, our good brother in the Netherlands, Brother Costa. Oh yes, he was once, yes, in a jail, in a prison, and God talked to him there. And oh my, if you were to talk to this brother now, you would never, never think that he had once been in such a situation. But you know, that's the grace, that's the mercy of our God. Praise the Lord. And here was Saul, one, you know, that had caused so much havoc, so much destruction, and hated with his heart those that were in the way, those that were Christians. But oh my, God was going to do a work that only he could do. Praise the Lord. God was going to change this man in a very wonderful way. Praise the Lord. It tells us, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost."
And praise the Lord, I know Ananias laid his hands upon Brother Saul. Praise the Lord. And it says immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Oh, scales that covered his vision so that he could not see. And he received sight forthwith. And he arose and was baptized. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I know he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, oh boy, it's, I believe in the 22nd chapter of Acts, where he's also, Paul is testifying, and you know, he's again relating this experience. And you know, I love how it tells us here as he's sharing it here in Acts 22. He's telling the story. Verse 12 says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And verse 16, oh, it's beautiful. It says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Praise the Lord. Oh, I like that. Arise and be baptized. Oh, yes, baptism in the name of Jesus is for the remission of sins. So here, as he's relating this message and recalling it, he says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Oh, the power and the authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We just don't want to take on titles. No, there's no name there. There's no authority. There's no power in titles. But oh, yes, when you say the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, yes, then, oh, yes, we've got that name which is above every name. Then we've got that name by which every knee is going to bow. And oh, yes, every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So back here in the 9th chapter, praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 18, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." You know, I know he received the Holy Ghost. You know, when he was, you know, writing his epistle to the church at Corinth, and you know, they were a very zealous people, but there were some things that, you know, he had to straighten out there. And you know, they loved to speak in other tongues. Oh, they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they just love to. But you know, it must have been that you know they were, you know, so zealous in that way that you know, when they would come together, they would just speak in tongues. So you know that if somebody who was from the outside came in and just heard them speaking in tongues, they would understand it. And so Paul had to give them the matter, you know that if they spoke in tongues during a service, that it should be interpreted, and all. But anyway, Paul also declared that they were not to forbid tongues, and you know he said that he spoke in tongues more than them all. Amen. I'm sure Paul knew, you know, there in your prayer closet, you know, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you don't always know how to pray, or sometimes, oh my, it's just too much for English or whatever tongue you speak in. Oh my, that, oh, the Spirit of the living God falls and your tongue begins to bring forth words that you cannot understand as you speak in unknown tongues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost that comes upon us. Praise the Lord. But anyway, yes, Paul obeyed the gospel. And yes, oh, he repented. Oh, yes, he obeyed the message to be baptized.
calling upon the name of the Lord, washing away his sins. And oh yes, I'm sure he was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Tells us here, continuing in Acts 9, verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He went right into those synagogues and he began to tell those Jewish people, oh yes, that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God and is the Son of God. He preached Christ to them. Tells us in verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? I mean, they knew that he had letters. He had received letters from the chief priests to come to Damascus and bind those that were Christians and bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But now, oh my, to their great amazement, oh, here he's doing just the opposite. He is preaching that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Oh, he was very persuading. You couldn't really resist this ministry that Saul was bringing forth. Oh, he was so convinced he had met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now he was forever changed, and now he was declaring the message of salvation, that the truth that Jesus is indeed Lord. Oh, that he is indeed the Son of God. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, oh my, he's not being so well accepted here. Verse 23 says, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And again, I love how God, you know, has his way. You know, here, you know, they were determined to kill this man. And they're watching the gates, you know, day and night. Whenever this man leaves, whenever he gets up to go, we're going to arrest him. You know, we're going to capture him right then and then. You know, and so, they were ready, it seemed. But oh my, they had heard of the plan. And God gave them another way of escape, so to speak. It said in verse 23, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Can you just see this? It seems that Saul of Tarsus was rather a little man. But here, you know, I know they used baskets for all manners of things back in those times. And I'm sure it was a great basket, you know. But here it was, you know, there was a basket that, you know, he could fit into, obviously. And you know, the plan that the Lord gave them was to put Saul in that basket and let him down by the wall at night. And praise the Lord, he worked, you know. I just love how God is always ahead of us. You know, I was doing things, you know, just like, you know, there was a way to preserve Moses' life. You know, the king had decreed that all the babies were to be slain, you know, all to be thrown into the Nile River. You know, and yet, you know, God was determined that this baby, that the princess named Moses was going to live. Praise the Lord. And God had a plan. God preserved him. And so it is. Praise the Lord. God preserved Saul. Praise the Lord. And he was let down by the wall in a basket. And from Damascus, we find that he came to Jerusalem. Verse 26 says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And can you imagine? I mean, there he had been, you know, those moments earlier and caused all that havoc and all that persecution and all that, you know, all that heartache. And it was hard even for the Christians to believe that he was a changed man. But again, God worked it out. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So yes, when Barnabas took him and gave forth his testimony and you know, declared it unto the apostles, they did accept him, obviously. So yes, he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And again, that boldness that God gave him. It says, then he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Oh my, already he's just a new Christian in the Lord. And now here in Jerusalem, as he speaks boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Grecians, and I believe the Grecians were Greek-speaking Jews, they're about ready to slay him. But, you know, again, God let them know what was up. It says, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. And I'm going to stop at verse 31. It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, they had rest from the persecution at this point. The one who is causing all the havoc, all the persecution. It was, you know, you could say arrested by the Lord Jesus. Oh, how the Lord changed his life. And praise the Lord, now they had a season to just worship freely and to rejoice in their salvation. Oh, yes, and to be edified. And, oh, yes, to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And it says they were multiplied. Oh, praise the Lord. The door was opened so that many came to the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. But, oh, it was by the grace of God. And in Paul, you know, he would say that, you know, he obtained mercy there from that First Timothy reading because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. God had mercy on him, you know, and he talked again how the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, God reaching out to such as Saul of Tarsus and changing this man, oh yes, and giving him a zeal that very few people, if anybody could even compare, I don't know, oh, a great zeal so that he could go from place to place and declare the wonderful works of God, to dispute openly with those that were Jews and in the synagogues, who would hate him in reality. But oh my, he also went to those that were Gentiles and declared the living word of God. And oh my, so many of them were converted and brought to the saving graces of our Lord and Savior. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go a little more into the book of Acts here, and we're going to just follow Paul just a little bit more so. It seems that if we go to the 25th and the 26th chapters of the book of Acts, we're now maybe 24 or so years beyond his conversion. And Paul has done an amazing amount of converting individuals and establishing churches, and all standing up for the Lord, having been persecuted majorly in so many ways. But here he is. And we know that when he came to Jerusalem that last time, that all hell, you could say, broke out. And yes, the Jews were very, very outraged, and of course, as it seemed always, they were ready to kill him. And you know, it was only that, you know, the Roman soldiers intervened and carried him up to a castle so that, you know, he would be saved from, you know, their intentions to murder him outright. But God, again, worked out every detail, and you know, in the 25th chapter of the book of Acts, we read of one Festus who comes into the province as governor of Judea, and you know, before him has been Felix. Felix was governor of Judea for 2 years, and Paul testified to him, and Paul, he could have been freed. Felix could have freed Paul, but he left him bound. So 2 years later, Felix is somehow dismissed, and Festus comes into his room, so to speak, and has, you know, has that function as governor. And this is about 60 AD at this point. And you know, Festus just coming into, you know, into rule there. Is, you know, he wants to make friends as much as he can, and after, you know, he first came to Caesarea, he went to Jerusalem, and there he goes before the high priest and the chief of the Jews. And you know, this time has you know, gone since Paul was in Jerusalem, and you know, they tried to kill him, but these chief of the Jews, these high priests in Sanhedrin court, I would say, you know, they still have one thing on their mind, it seems like, and it's that Paul that they still want to get rid of, that they wanted so desperately to get rid of, and they couldn't do it. God wouldn't let them. And so when Festus comes into the room and he goes to Jerusalem to, you know, befriend them and, you know, see what's on their mind, they tell him about Paul. And, you know, he's trying to be favorable to them, you know, but you know, these Jewish people, you know, they want Paul brought back to Jerusalem so, you know, they can put him before the Sanhedrin court, so at least they pretend, but you know, their intention really is to lay wait for him and kill him. Well, anyway, Festus doesn't go along with that. He says, no, Paul's going to be tried at Caesarea. So anyway, you know, after a while he comes back to Caesarea, and you know, after, you know, whatever few days go by, you know, he has Paul come in. He doesn't quite know what to think, you know. He's heard all these grievous complaints against Paul, and you know, they're without proof. And of course, the Jews come down to, yeah, lay these grievous complaints against Paul out before him. And, you know, again, they want Paul to be brought to Jerusalem. But Paul is in a place where he knows these people way too well. He knows their intention. And it puts him in a place where he asked then to go to Caesar's judgment seat instead, to be sent to Rome before Caesar. So anyway, Festus says, if thou hast appealed unto Caesar, then unto Caesar you're going to go. But anyway, it's a bit of a predicament for Festus, because here he's got this prisoner, and now he's got to send him to Rome, and he's got to, you know, write out some kind of complaint. You know, why is he sending this prisoner to Caesar, you know? And he doesn't know what to say. I mean, from what he can understand, you know, that Paul is not guilty of anything. So how do I explain this to Caesar? So it so happens after a few days that Agrippa, who is one of the Herods, And his sister Bernice are coming down to salute Festus, and you know, I suppose to be nice and present themselves. He's new there, you know, and all. And so it comes up in their discussion, what am I going to do with this Paul? And you know, Agrippa is rather interested, and he wants to hear what might be said. And he wants to hear what Paul might say to him, how he might present himself. So it so happens in the 26th chapter that Agrippa is addressing Paul and telling him that he is permitted to speak for himself. Paul stretched out his hand to answer him, and he says in verse 2 of Acts 26, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching of the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And then he begins to tell him his background. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Oh yes, that promise the Messiah was going to come, that there was going to be a Savior, a Redeemer. And he says, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God had raised the dead? I mean, the Jews had not accepted him. Oh, they hated him. They scorned him. They were ready to murder him. They wanted with all their heart to get rid of this Paul of Tarsus. And so he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Those things that we earlier read there from the 7th and 8th chapter and the beginning of the 9th chapter. You know, he had given his consent. He had gone to, you know, the chief priest to seek permission, letters, so that he could bring those that were at Damascus back. No, he's telling it, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, oh, he tells this wonderful story. He says in verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, declaring from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then verse 19, he could say, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Oh, praise the Lord. He was, oh, yes, he received that call. He, oh, yes, he began to see what God had to show him, and all that heavenly vision interrupted his life. Oh yes, and changed him, brought him to a different place and a different way of thinking. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh yes, instead of persecuting the church of the living God, he began, oh yes, to be the one that was persecuted. Oh, the one that the Jews instead would hate. Oh yes, and oh, try to destroy in every way that they could possibly consider. So he says, oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And you know, the Lord talks to our heart, and when he calls us, and when we begin to see who he is, you know, that revelation that comes from on high, we begin to realize who Jesus is. Oh, yes, the great and mighty one, the creator of the universe, and how he begins to talk to our hearts and show us our great need. Oh yes, to turn from our sinful, willful ways. Oh, to repent, to be baptized in the saving name of the Lord Jesus, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a precious moment that is. Oh, praise the Lord. And here he's given his testimony to a king, to King Agrippa. And he says in verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and to works meet for repentance. Oh yes, he was declaring the gospel. Yes, first to them at Damascus, then to Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea, and then on to the Gentiles. Oh, he preached the gospel, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Oh, yes, get your heart right with God. Oh, yes, so that you can meet the living God. Oh, yes, so there isn't sin that would condemn you standing in the way, so you can stand before God with a pure and clean, a blameless heart. And he says in verse 21, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. All the simplicity of the gospel message, that which had been declared all those ages before by the prophets. Oh yes, as they were anointed by God Almighty to declare it. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But Paul said in verse 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Oh yes, it must have come to Agrippa's attention one way or the other. These things that had happened. Oh yes, how people were coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, that Jesus Christ had come to this world. Oh, as the Son of God. Oh yes, to live and to die, and to rise again. And oh, yes, as he's speaking, oh, there was conviction. Oh, in his words. Oh, and I know God was using him. Festus didn't get it. He just thought that Paul was mad, just off his rocker, just cuckoo or something. But oh, my, there was somebody else. There was King Agrippa sitting there. And oh, God was talking to his heart. And Paul said in verse 27, he asked him, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And oh my, all the thoughts that were going through Agrippa's brain. Oh, at that time, oh, at that moment, did Agrippa say unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. accept these bonds. But there we have it. Oh my, the message of this man who once was in such a position that he had this zeal to destroy Christians, oh, to break up their meeting places, to break them up, oh yes, and hail them away, to haul them away, oh, to bring them into Jerusalem to be bound and most likely killed. And here we see this man whose life had so been turned around by the saving grace of Jesus. Oh, what a difference, oh, it makes when we meet the Master, when we meet the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, and we come face to face with Him one way or the other, when we're confronted with the message of salvation, and when the Lord begins to talk to our heart, oh, He begins to tug in our being, and we begin to feel a need, oh, to give way, oh, yes, to turn our lives over to the living God. And here he was, oh, Paul, having a great opportunity to speak before this King Agrippa, this Herod, that, oh yes, was standing or sitting in front of him. Oh, I know there was conviction there as he brought forth his testimony. And you know, I could just understand why Paul would say, as he did in Romans, the first chapter, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, he could say that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Praise the Lord, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, Greeks, oh yes. You know, when Paul was on his missionary journeys, he would go into the synagogues first. Oh, he had a burning desire to, you know, see some of his fellow brethren converted to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes they would listen for a little while. But oh yes, when he bore down on the gospel message, when he bore down on doctrine, oh, they would rise up, oh, and they would begin to chase him away. They would do everything they could to kill him. And oh, it had been no different. Oh, when he had come into Jerusalem, and oh, those Jewish people rose up with all that hatred against this one who had been so changed by the power of the living God. Oh, I love how the Lord takes us. Now, how we begin to see and understand. You know, it's not because of pedigree. It's not because of position. You know, it's nothing that we could merit. It's nothing that we could buy. But it's by the wonderful grace of our Lord and Savior, oh yes, that intervened in our lives in such a way that, oh my, suddenly we could see what life is all about. Suddenly we could feel all that great need to give our lives to the Lord. Oh, what a day that is when, oh yes, we meet Jesus. Oh, when he begins to talk to our heart and tug at our heart. I could never thank God enough for, oh, the way he came to me. An 8-year-old girl, just, you know, thinking I was going to live my own way and just, you know, not going to go the way of my parents, so I thought, in my little naughtiness. And, you know, praise the Lord, God saw different. Oh, like I said, you know, that night he filled me with the Holy Ghost. I had no idea. I had no notion that, you know, God was going to change me that night. But, oh, praise the Lord, you know what? Something happened deep within. Something happened. Oh, you know, all I knew is all at once, I didn't care who was watching me. I didn't care who knew. I just wanted to make my amends with God and get right. I didn't want to go to that hell. Oh, I didn't want to go to that awful place and be condemned.
Oh, praise the Lord. All I know, it was the grace of God that came unto me and made himself known. And you know, that is what Paul could say too. You know, that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we read earlier. Oh, yes, the wonderful gospel, the death, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his rising again the third day. And how, yes, how he appeared. Oh, yes, even unto one that was born out of due time, as Paul said. You know, it was on the road to Damascus that Jesus appeared to him. Oh, yes, all at once, that heavenly light that, oh, was so bright that he fell down. And, oh, yes, that question, who art thou, Lord? Oh, and that's startling, surprised answer, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh my, and oh how it was, he was so perturbed over that. But how it changed his life. And you know, he knew that it wasn't any works that he had done, but it was by the grace of God. As he said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 again, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Oh, what a privilege it is. Oh, the Lord, he comes into our life to change us, so to transform us. Oh, yes, to fill us with his Spirit so that we might be his sons and daughters, so that we might be heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. What a work he has done in our hearts. What a privilege it is to serve him. And we know, again, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by his grace that he saved us. Praise the Lord. And none of us, when we stand before the Lord, are going to be able to have any claims of ourselves. We're all going to know that it was the abundant grace of God. God showing his love to us and revealing himself to us so that we could see our great need to come unto him, the living waters, and to turn our lives over to God. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a call that goes forth even tonight. Oh, yes, if you've not yet given your heart, your life over to God, I beseech you that you would make haste and come to God and serve God to bring forth fruit meat for repentance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Give your lives to God. Make haste while there is still time, because, oh, yes, I know that door of salvation will one day be closed. It will one day be too late. Bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Oh, God knows. And to be forgiven those trespasses. Oh, praise the Lord. I pray that we will all give heed and come to the living God. But what a deed. What a wonderful work it is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Praise the Lord. And we can all say that, for it was by grace that we are saved. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, he bids you to come unto him. Oh, yes, to make haste to come unto the living God. And I pray that if, oh yes, there are any under the sound of my voice, that you would give heed
to listen and to make your amends with the living God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Nothing that our Lord would not forgive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 272 and sing Amazing Grace, number 272. are dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.